الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers and sisters in Islam, as I was saying earlier, that throughout the year we accumulate sins, and these sins create a burden and a heavy weight which we carry on our shoulders. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show His favors upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He said, الَّذِي أَنْقَضَ ظَهْرَكَ بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, الَّذِي أَنْقَضَ ظَهْرَكَ, that which was heavy upon your back. The idea is that the accumulation of sins becomes heavy on the believer and it makes it difficult for the believer to move on. And because this is the nature of the son of Adam, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, كُلُّ ابْنِ آدَمَ خَطَّأ وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ, every son of Adam is sinful, and the best of those who wind up falling into sin are those who turn to Allah in repentance. We learn from this hadith then that we have the tendency, okay, there's too much typing going on for me to be able to concentrate. You guys should know the rules by now. If there's something which we need to discuss, should be done before we begin. Too much typing is not compatible with my small brain. No, it's not your fault, Akhi. No, it's not no one's fault in particular. I'm just speaking, makes it difficult to concentrate. So I'll wait for the dilemma to be over, and then inshaAllah ta'ala, we will resume. Maybe I'm not being loud enough, okay? I think there's an issue here. Maybe the phone looks like it's working fine on my end. Is it in the wrong one? Is it better? Oh, this is... I don't know what's up with the microphone. Maybe the microphone is not working. How about I grab it like this? Okay. So the idea of sin affecting us is something which is known and agreed upon. I give up. Well, there's so much we can do. This is all we got, guys. Take it as it comes. Okay, there isn't anything that can be done at this point to improve this. This is the best. So, Allah al-Musta'an. Okay then. So the idea of sins affecting us is something which is agreed on and agreed upon. The ayah which I was quoting earlier was preceded with the ayah ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي انقض ظهرك. That Allah عز وجل said he removed that sin or the burden of sin which had been heavy on the back, which has been heavy to carry. In other words, maybe that's why there's an echo. صحيح. And so out of the mercy of Allah, when this is our condition, and I don't think anyone listening can say that he or she are sinless or they have not disobeyed Allah Azza wa Jal in these past months, it is from the mercy of Allah that the month of Ramadan or the fasting of the month of Ramadan has been legislated. Truly, truly, it is something which we should look forward to primarily because we hope that Allah will make it the month in which our sins will be forgiven. Sometimes we get a little carried away and we believe that, really Allah forgiving our sins is something that is not really important since I have so many good deeds and so little bad deeds. But it is often miscalculation on our end. And one of the classical examples of the beautification of ugliness provided courtesy of Shaitan and his Satan, Iblis, and his children is why Allah reward many of the most crucial acts of worship and the most fundamental acts of worship. Usually, the result would be the forgiveness of sins. Yeah, and you go for Hajj, and you go through all the hassle associated with Hajj, and you go through all the difficulty that has to do with Hajj, and you're sleeping on the streets at times, and you're walking amongst thousands of people, if millions of people at other times, and you're under the scorching heat, and it may rain on you on some days, and so all this is happening, and you're out there for days doing all these ibadat, all these different acts of worship, and what is the end result? The end result is whoever goes for Hajj without, committing, idol, without oppression, without committing sin, and without having relation with one spouse, then this person shall return like the day his mother gave birth to him, the day he was born. The whole thing is so that you will become sinless, as in you don't have any sins on your account. So all this is because you want these sins to be forgiven. Now, Ramadan is also one of these times where we can get that privilege, as Muslims, by Allah's grace, for our sins to be forgiven. And so, at this stage, as we approach, it's the countdown. As we approach, we should be very much anticipating and looking forward to the arrival of this blessed month, because truly, it is a month full of opportunities for us to rectify our condition, to get closer to Allah, and if we're away from Allah, to return to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, to increase our good deeds, to increase our understanding of Islam, to have a better relationship with the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to strengthen the brotherhood and the sisterhood among the Muslims, to unite the ummah, all these privileges, to be protected from the hellfire, to attain righteousness, all of these are a courtesy of the month of Ramadan. So it's mercy from Allah Azza wa Jalla that is beyond what our speech can ever describe. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as in Bukhari, used to say to the Sahaba, when Ramadan comes, the gates of paradise are opened and the gates of hell are closed and the devils are chained. In another narration he said, and a caller calls out, O seeker of good, come, and O seeker of evil, desist, stop, and to Allah is the safety from the fire, and this is in every night. Meaning every night Allah will ransom, Allah Azza wa Jal will ransom some people from the punishment of the hellfire. Every night there will be some people whom Allah will decree they will never enter the hellfire. Allahu Akbar. 29 or 30 opportunities to be protected from the hellfire. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said another hadith in Tabari. He said the month of Ramadan has come, which is the month of blessed month. So he sends down mercy and the evil deeds are wiped out. So show to Allah good from yourselves. For indeed the evil one is the one who is prohibited from the mercy of Allah in this month. In other narrations, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever fasts the month of Ramadan out of faith and anticipation, then his previous sins are forgiven. Whoever prays in Ramadan, whoever does qiyam, whoever prays at night, the taraweeh in Ramadan, out of faith and anticipation, his sins, his previous sins will be forgiven. And he said, whoever stands in prayer and whoever worships Allah properly during Laylatul Qadr, the night of power, or the night of decree, Afwan, the night of decree, with faith and anticipation, then his previous sins will be forgiven. Look at the many opportunities where we were given the chance for our sins to be forgiven. Or if you pray in the night during Ramadan, or if you even just do Laylatul Qadr correctly, all of these are opportunities for the sins to be forgiven. So notice now, all of the narrations are at the end of the day leading you to the final result, the final destination, which is the forgiveness of sins. Why? Because it is that important. Because it is that important that our sins are forgiven. If our sins are not forgiven and we stand before Allah with them on the day of judgment, then this is where trouble lies. This is where we can destroy ourselves. Unless Allah Azza wa Jal wills otherwise. But no one has any guarantee that Allah will pardon him on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Or that Allah will overlook his shortcomings. Or Allah will wipe him out. No one has any guarantee. But if while we are alive, these sins are forgiven and we happen to die, then we will be dying with a book full of good deeds and very little bad deeds. Because the hadith says his previous sins will be forgiven, meaning everything he had done before, from the time he reached puberty until that moment, will be forgiven. Which means he will have no evil deeds except those which he will accumulate, or she will accumulate after that time. In comparison to the good deeds, this will be a good ratio, you know. A lot of good deeds, little bad deeds. And so, the one who brings this to mind will truly look forward to Ramadan. The one who brings this to mind will truly look forward to Ramadan. The one who doesn't bring this to mind, he will have two standpoints, which I've personally observed. The one who doesn't appreciate this feature will be, usually they will have two views. Number one, they feel like Ramadan is like every other month. Okay? They feel like Ramadan is like every other month. It just happens to have some extra acts of worship which they have to suffer from. Secondly, they make it a month of eating or a month of entertainment. Very common features among those who don't think that their sins are destructive enough. So you will find that the shayateen will be bringing some special events on Ramadan
when you think this is the last or the least expected time for these events, specific kind of food, the month of fasting, the month of abstinence, the month of refrainment from food, becomes the month of food. The month of variety of food. The month of gaining weight. The month of overeating. The month of enjoying the various kinds of foods on every other night or every night of Ramadan. This is the attitude of the loser. They may not recognize it, but that is the attitude of the loser. The one who doesn't see the sins and the burden of the sins, he only looks at the logistics of the month of Ramadan. So you find that they know Allah only in the month of Ramadan. And they miss Salatul Isha, but they go for Taraweeh. They miss Salatul Isha, which is an obligation in the Jama'ah, in the Masjid, but he will not miss Salatul Taraweeh. How can you favor the voluntary over the obligatory? Because it is a habit and tradition. They think that simply by standing every night behind the Imam, even though they complain about the duration of the Salah, and they backbite them after the Salah, they believe doing that will suffice, and Allah will forgive them their sins because they stood behind the Imam. As if it's, you know, going to some fun land, or, you know, to stand in line for a roller coaster. Just because you stood in line, you deserve to ride. No. Standing in line does not necessitate that you will ride. Standing behind the Imam does not necessitate that you will attain what Allah has promised. Because the condition of the heart is crucial. The condition of the heart is vital. The condition of the heart is the decisive element between those who will attain the mercy of Allah and His forgiveness and those who will only get tired. The Prophet ﷺ said, رُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعُ وَالْعَطَشُ أو كَمَا قَالَ صلى الله عليه وسلم. Perhaps a fasting person will attain nothing of his fast except hunger and thirst. The only thing he will acquire is become hungry and thirsty. And he said, perhaps a person standing in prayer at night will get nothing of his prayer except fatigue, except tiredness. We don't look at these narrations, but these narrations are the most important, among the most important. Why was he speaking, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that perhaps some people will get nothing of Ramadan and fasting except hungry, becoming hungry and thirsty, and others will only get tired because of standing? Because these are individuals who did not believe their sins were heavy enough and that they really needed them to be forgiven. So they did not value the month of Ramadan correctly. In fact, for some of them it was a burden. They're like, oh man, life is good. I would eat anytime I want. Open the fridge. I can grab whatever I want now. This Ramadan is going to come. I can eat whenever I want. I have to stay away from food. They don't like it. Now we're not saying that this is something which you're supposed to love per se, because it goes against our nature. But you cannot hate it. You cannot hate the act of worship with which you're getting closer to Allah. So they feel like Ramadan is this big burden on their backs. And wallahi, these are the losers. So my message to you and to myself first, brothers and sisters, that as from now, appreciate the month of Ramadan. Don't wait until it begins and try to make things happen, it will be too late. From now, at least in your heart, if you haven't done any preparation physically, prepare your heart that you want your sins to be forgiven so bad, and you have high expectations from Allah that He will do so for you in Ramadan, that in this way you will truly utilize them month, you will truly benefit from it, and with these efforts you are very likely to have your sins forgiven by Allah Azza wa Jal. the forgiveness of the sins is something which you will be able to appreciate it afterwards. And so speak about how we look forward to the month. It is, brothers and sisters, it is not the month of eating. We're supposed to be very, very sensitive as to what we eat and when we eat. Be careful of eating between Maghrib and Isha too much, because it will kill your Taraweeh. You'll be too sleepy to pray correctly. You'll be burping the whole time, and you'll have stomach ache, and you will have to go to the bathroom too many times. Your Taraweeh will be ruined. Eat moderately, light, eat light, and finish, and after Salatul Isha and after Taraweeh, you may, have a decent meal to keep you back straight. على كل حال, because of time restriction, I cannot really elaborate more, but I do invite you to visit my website, www.onewaytoparadise.net. When you go to the main page, there's a lecture called A Typical Day in Ramadan, which I recommend that you, recommend that you listen to, because it kind of details for you how your day should be as a Muslim in the month of Ramadan, or in the day of Ramadan, Afwan. And there's another lecture titled, How Do I Excel? Let Me Tell. How Do I Excel? Let Me Tell. I suggest you hear both lectures for more information, which I'm unable to disseminate at the moment. I'm sorry, I missed an E there. I guess we can take some questions now. In the meantime, I'll be turning off this air condition here because I'm freezing. Okay. Questions? السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. Does wudu break if a non-mahram accidentally sees a woman without a hijab? No. No, it does not break the wudu. And you read books, whether in Arabic or English, and you read the chapter on the wudu nullifiers, you will never find this mention over there. The nullifiers of wudu are known. They're known, they're stipulated in the books of the scholars. Pretty much say there's consensus on them to a large extent. And I've never heard of an alim who said that, that negates or that invalidates wudu. And whenever someone says that, kindly ask them for their evidence. What is their evidence that this does affect the wudu? Assalamu alaikum, brother. Alaikum salam. In my city, we've got only one masjid, and that, inshallah, will be held as per sunnah. But as for qiyam, they start the jumbo jet, then I can't enjoy the salah. So can I just avoid praying the qiyam with them in masjid and do it at home? Yes, you can. Yes, you may do so. If the people do not pray according to the sunnah and you're not able to attain khushu', then praying at home is better than praying in the masjid. the idea is that you get closer to Allah through salah. Whatever that happens, let it be. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. Just for fun, what's your... Just for fun, huh? It means you want to laugh at me when I say it? Does that mean after I tell you my occupation, you're going to have a good laugh? Because that's what fun is. Anyways, I am a supervisor for over English teachers. I don't know if that made sense. Anyways, I'm the, what they call a pedagogical supervisor, or educational supervisor, as in I'm in charge of English language teachers who are non-native speakers. So that makes a difference, of course, because my English needs a lot of work. Nevertheless, I'm in charge of these teachers, and we work together towards helping the students enhance their language, their English language skills. And I also I'm involved in the Dawah Center. Some teenagers want to keep all fast but can't due to being weak or sick. Can they give food to poor for each fast they cannot keep, as it has been told in the Quran? Well, if someone has a valid sickness, and they are unable to fast, then yes, they feed a poor person for every day in which they don't fast. This is if they're the type of illness is one which from which they will never recover. Meaning, if they have some permanent illness from which they will never recover, then they feed a poor person. However, if they have an illness from which they can recover in the future, then they will not feed a poor person, but they will make up the days after Ramadan is over. Allah says, فَمَنْ كَانَ مَرِضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. So whoever is sick or is traveling, then an equal number of days. So, it depends on the kind of sickness. Now, being weak is not an excuse though. Most people, you will be weak because of fasting. That's a natural consequence. But that doesn't, legitimize breaking the fast. Salaam alaikum salam. I want to study tafsir of Quran, inshallah. What is your opinion of Quran tafsir by... Doctor, okay, that is available on YouTube. What is the opinion about it? Do not use this tafsir. Do not use the tafsir of the person whom you mentioned. Do not refer to it and do not use it. By the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, which is available in English, and study it, and that is much better for you, inshallah ta'ala. Naam. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. My aunt wears sleeveless, backless dresses in public and goes to mixed parties of Hindus in Dubai. They say this is the way of life of the elite class who live with people of different religions. Is this allowed in any case? No. It is allowed for someone who doesn't really understand Islam. So it is allowed as per the fatwa of the shaitan, whom is his close companion, but not allowed in the deen of Allah, to be wearing sleeveless and backless dresses and mixing with Hindus. This is deviance, misguidance, and Allah musta'an. May Allah guide your aunt. Allah musta'an. Elite all. The elite of what? What do you do if you wake up a couple of minutes before shuruq, but fajr time has not completely passed yet, but you can finish the salah in the time remaining and it will fall into the times prohibited for salah? Do you pray or do you wait until the sun comes all the way up? I remember that this issue has been addressed by the scholars, and there's a difference of opinion, and there's a hadith to that effect, but I hate to tell you that I cannot recall it at the moment. Ma'lish.
according to hadith about Ramadan, will major sins also be forgiven if person fasts and honors Ramadan properly? The scholars have differed on that issue. Some of them say that it includes the major and the minor sins, while others say it only has to do with the minor sins, and that the major sins require repentance. Wallahu a'lam. Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam. Is the 2 rak'at sunnah after Isha a condition before praying tahajjud, taraweeh, witr? Example, someone has not managed to make the sunnah and the imam has started taraweeh. How? Well, akhi, the answer is in the question. They're called sunnah in this regard, as in they're voluntary. So how can they be a condition? How can a voluntary act be a condition for another voluntary act? This doesn't exist. You pray them, alhamdulillah, you can pray them, Allah musta'an. It has nothing to do with your taraweeh. Nothing. Seven more minutes. I was always told that salah is forbidden when the sun is setting. If the time of Asr ends when Maghrib begins, is this really such a time? And if yes, when is it? Yes, ya akhi, the time of prohibition, whether it is in the sunrise or in the sunset, is concerning voluntary prayer. Okay? If you haven't prayed Asr yet, and it's about, you know, Maghrib is about to come in, but that is obligatory salah which you have to fulfill. So yes, you don't pray voluntary prayer, but you pray the Asr prayer. 2 minutes before Maghrib, 1 minute before Maghrib, 5 minutes before Maghrib, you better pray before the time goes out. In fact, you're not allowed to let the time go out. You have to get the salah in before. You have to catch the first rak'ah before. You have to be in the state of ruku' before. But if you wanted to pray a voluntary prayer, we say, no, this is the time of prohibition. The sun setting is the time of prohibition. You don't pray during that time. Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum salam. Is it permissible a woman to apply expensive perfume for her hubby at home? Zakallahu khairan. It is not permissible, it is highly recommended. It is highly recommended that she wears a nice, fancy perfume and she looks nice and nice and nice and nice and nice for hubby pie. So you'll not have to look outside anywhere. And you won't be going looking for another one. You know? So the best way to keep your husband in check is make sure that you're in check. Now you look like you just came out of prison, and you better believe he will feel like he's in prison. So take heed, O sisters in Islam. What, you guys didn't like that one? Everything in this world is cursed except the remembrance of Allah and the teacher and the student. Can you please explain why the teacher and student relationship has such a great importance in Islam? It doesn't really say, yani, the teacher and the student. It basically has to deal with either you learning or you teaching. It's just the idea, because it's just the idea of knowledge. It's highlighting the importance of knowledge. And as when you're involved in knowledge, you're either disseminating and you know, knowledge, or you acquiring knowledge. And both are pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. Both are pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. Assalamu alaikum, brother. Wa alaikum salam. What is the difference between taraweeh prayer and qiyamul layl? There is and there isn't a difference. Qiyam is the general prayer at night. Taraweeh is the one which you do in Ramadan. So in Ramadan, taraweeh becomes qiyam. Outside Ramadan, qiyam
is what you do at night, and it's usually not called Taraweeh. Because there isn't that element of raha between every four rak'at, as is the case in Ramadan. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. Regarding marriage, bride and groom in India, Pakistan wear garland made of rose flowers. What is your opinion about it? Well, I think it wouldn't look appropriate on a man, as it is what women usually adorn themselves with. So it is not appropriate for a man, it is appropriate for the lady, unless it is something which they've learned from the Hindus. Yani, before we say this is allowed, and I personally don't know, is it something that the Hindus practice? Is it something which they've learned from the non-Muslims and they've brought it into Islam? And that thing has significance in the religion of the other, you know, people. If so, then it becomes forbidden for the male and the female. If not, then there's no issue for the sister to wear it. A brother should avoid that. A brother should avoid that because, you know, adorning oneself is something that the women do with foreign material, like bracelets and anklets and necklaces, and, you know, and it's a form of a flower, it's a form of a necklace, if I'm not mistaken. And so it's not appropriate for the brother, you know, to do this. Wallahu alam. Fasting the six, assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. Fasting the 6 days of Shawwal. Can I fast them if I have not made a fast from last Ramadan? No. No, you have to make up the days. Oh, you mean from the Ramadan before? Meaning you still have days which you owe from the previous Ramadan, and this Ramadan is coming and you want to fast this Ramadan, then fast the six while still owing days from last Ramadan. The question is, why do you still owe days from the last Ramadan? It's been a whole year. Why haven't these days been made up? And so Allahu A'lam. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. Does bad behavior and attitude, as in backbiting and being rude, invalidate the fast? According to the scholars, they don't invalidate the fast, but they tremendously decrease the reward up until the point where they may eliminate it altogether. But we cannot say that they invalidate the fast. We say that they will get, you know, they will affect the reward until the reward becomes almost nothing, or, you know, something very, very little. Now, actually, our time is up. Are we done with the questions, monitor? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. In the local masjids, they usually don't provide provide a place for tahajjud for sisters. Isn't that blameworthy? I mean, I don't think we have to, don't you think we have the right to pray tahajjud just like the men do? Because if you say you pray at home, we might not have memorized the Quran, etc. Yes, I will say this is, before I say that this is oppression or blameworthy, I mean, I don't know why they don't have a place. Is it because of financial incapabilities? They're unable to build, or they cannot divide the masjid. I mean, they may have a reason, but as a general idea, you know, the masajid usually have a place for women, and women are allowed to pray in the masajid. The Prophet ﷺ said, "La tamna'u ima Allah the masajid." Do not prevent the, you know, the slaves or the female slaves of Allah from the masajid. So no one has the right to prevent them unless they're not acting according to the deen. The sisters have the right to pray tahajjud, and if this masjid is able to designate an area for the sisters, then that would be much appreciated. However, if for whatever reason Allah decreed that the sisters unable to pray, then we ask Allah to make her prayer home beneficial and rewarding with good. And you never know. Perhaps you may hate something and it is good for you. Nah. But a place for women should be available, inshallah. And sisters should fear Allah when they go to the masjid and make sure that they dress accordingly. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. What should a woman do if her mahrams cannot go to Hajj with her but she wants to go? She doesn't go. That's what she does. She does not go. Because the condition for going to Hajj is لِمَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. For the one who's able to arrive, is able to go there. Okay? And so if a sister does not have a mahram, she is not among those who has the means to go. And so Allah does not expect her to do Hajj. Does she want to do Hajj when Allah doesn't expect her to come? Do you go to someone, to the host, without him expecting you to visit? It is very important that, you know, we realize that. You go when Allah allows you to go. If Allah hasn't allowed you to go, you can't just go anyways. Because you're going there to please Allah. So starting on the wrong foot defeats the objective. If you don't have any mahram, Hajj is not obligatory on you, sister. If you have a mahram, Hajj becomes obligatory on you. If Allah decrees you die without ever finding the mahram which takes you, Allah will not hold you accountable for not doing Hajj. This is what you should firmly believe in. So you will not fall into error. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. I believe that is the end of it. Inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to enable us to make it to Ramadan and make it means for our sins to be forgiven and get closer to Him. And inshallah we'll be having our classes in Ramadan bi-idhnillahi Azza wa Jal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Sallallahu sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.